Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity weight, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. We're picking up from yesterday, and for brand new people, the top podcast is titled It's My House. But we're picking up from yesterday, but we're expanding it a little bit more. The title of today's podcast is Chables. Midi Cool Fridge, and Maxwell Chikumbutso. All right, now, before we go, well, we got Suzanne. We had to do a little rescheduling. I'll get to you in a minute on that, but you guys can follow along online. First thing is, let's get with this title again. A chable. What is, and that's spelled Chaebol. Chable. And a chable, matter of fact, you know what? Let me do an experiment. It might be better. Good morning, Kimmy K.
Good morning.
Got a question for you. What type of phone do you use? Brand.
I'm sorry, what type brand what?
No. What brand of phone do you use?
Oh, I have an iPhone.
That's Apple. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about, people that use Apple products usually go Apple all the way. What about laptop?
I mainly use an iPad.
I knew it. Apple.
So Apple.
All right, yeah, Apple people usually go Apple all the way. What about tablet? Same thing, Apple product?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well.
Why? What you need?
Apple really, if Steve Jobs and Wozniak had structured it differently, it could be a table, but it isn't a table. All right, well, all right, you drive a car?
I do.
What brand?
Honda.
I mean, what company?
Honda.
Okay. There you go. All right. Now we're working. All right. Oh, let me. Let me go to Honda here real quick. Now, tables are basically the term table, which is translated from the Korean word, and I don't speak Korean. Okay. A table, and I'm on Wikipedia. A table is a large industrial conglomerate that is run and controlled by a person. Now, here's the operative word that we're working with today. By a person or family in South Korea. A table often consists of many diversified affiliates controlled by a family or group of persons, family, whose power over the group exceeds the legal authority. And that's whoever wrote that. That's what they wrote. All right. So, now, some of a family business that started with one, because family business typically start with one person. Think of a family business that's grown into billions. Like, for instance, for some of you who have heard of you or seen at the airport or seen a commercial or whatever of Korean Air, that's a table. That's basically they have family controlling it at the top of their corporate structure. Samsung, now I have a Samsung phone. I have a Samsung laptop that I'm using right now, and those are all part of Samsung's table, okay? Family is infused and still run it. And they take in billions of dollars all day, although I think Samsung started like out in the shack. But I asked Kimmy K, now she's Apple, which is started by Steve Wozniak, who's still living, okay, he was really, in my opinion, he's really Apple. The late Steve Jobs, in other words, Steve Wozniak was the steak, you know, but Steve Jobs was the sizzle. He's one that sold it anyway. But
right.
Apple isn't structured as the South Koreans would call it, a table. It's not a family business. Although I'm sure, you know, Steve Jobs, his children, his widow, and, you know, but they don't really run a company. However, you did mention you drive a Honda. So, Honda, now let's look at Honda. Honda, which took in Honda's revenue in 2018 was 15.6 trillion yen. Their operating income was 833.5 billion yen. Now they have over 215,000 employees. All right, now let's look at the history. Once again, we're talking about tables, which are basically humble family businesses started usually started by one person that grows into something gigantic and even has political power. Now, we're going with Honda because Kimmy K drives a Honda. Throughout his life, Honda's founder, Socorro Honda, had interest in automobiles. He worked as a mechanic at the Art Sequoia Garage, where he tuned cars and entered them in races. In 1937, with the financing from his acquaintances, Cato Securo, and I might be butchering these names, Honda founded Takai, which is, all right, hold on, it's a machinery company that was used to make piston rings, working with the Art Sakura Garage. After initial failures, okay, now he met with some failure early on, as many people do. He won a contract, well, Saki, his partner, won a contract to supply pistons rings to Toyota. Now, I love Toyota. Toyota is a Chabal as well. And it started with humble beginnings. As a matter of fact, I think I did a podcast earlier this year on Toyota. They started out, matter of fact, they weren't even in the automobile business at first. They started out making like, they're not sewing machines, but, the name's right on the tip of my tongue. They were in a completely different business. And then, anyway, long story short, they got into the automobile business. I think they got an automobile from over here in the States. They took it apart and learned how to make automobiles by buying one and then taking it apart and then rebuilding it. Anyway, long story short, Toyota, which is a cabal, essentially they make or assemble 30 cars per minute. Just in the last minute, they done did 30 other cars. But it's a family operation. Out of the employees and related, no. But we're talking about they've managed to keep blood relatives in the corporate structure for all these years. Anyway, getting back to Honda. So Honda won a contract to supply piston rings to Toyota. Now, these aren't South Koreans, but, you know, this is East Asia still. He lost the contract. Honda lost the contract due to poor quality of their products at the time. After attending engineering school without graduating, what is it about all these dropouts becoming billionaires?
I know,
Steve,
right?
Steve Jobs dropped out of school. Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of school. I don't even know if Steve Jobs went to school. Honda entered engineering school, but he didn't graduate. After visiting factories around Japan to better understand Toyota's quality control, although he dropped out of formal school academics, he learned by just hanging around the whole process. Anyway, after attending engineering school without graduating and visiting factories around Japan to better understand Toyota's quality control processes of the five Ys, by 1941, Honda was able to mass-produce piston rings acceptable to Toyota using an automated process that could employ even unskilled wartime laborers. That's what Henry Ford did. But that assembly line, a lot of those people that worked for Ford when Henry Ford was alive, a lot of those people were originally from Eastern Europe or Europe in general. They didn't have any skills, but you know what? Let's just break it down to McDonald's. An idiot can work for McDonald's. I'm not calling them idiots. Okay. But a lot of McDonald's workforce are teenagers. And they simplify, I mean, they just really break down the steps to making the burgers, to making the fries. Even on the cash register now, it's I mean, you got pictures of a hamburger, it's really, really simplified. So nobody's an idiot. It's this really, really simplified system. And that's what, anyway, so Honda also is, a cabal. All right, and there's a lot attached to Honda as far as automobiles, well, various different motor vehicles. So between Kimmy and I, all right, she's got the Honda, then I've got the Samsung phone, I got an LG phone, both of those are cabals. And I'm bringing all this up because anybody who has a business, just start the business and, you know, I'm not saying you have to structure it to be a cabal, but think that way and get it sustainable where everybody's covered. And then who knows what it'll grow into generation by generation by generation. As you can see with Honda, and matter of fact, I'm going to feature a lot of these people probably at least once a week. Conda,
well, you know, Michael, you know,
was
Microsoft
born in 19...
and Google.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You know that Microsoft and Google both started in garages as well, correct?
Oh, I believe it because, I mean, Apple started in a garage.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Gates started Microsoft in a garage.
Yeah. The record label, A&M Records, started by Herb Alpert. I don't know if he still owns the company. Could have sold it. That started in his garage. And Samsung, I believe, started in a shack. With a hand, maybe no more than five senior citizens to assemble. They weren't assembling phones back then. But that's why I play on here. I play it every week, at least once a week, Factory City, which is a documentary on Foxconn, which is a pretty large manufacturer. I don't know if it's a cabal, but they do have many families that work within that system. So, going back to today's title, cabals, MIDI Cool Fridge versus Max Chikumbutso, who we introduced yesterday. Now, the reason why, we're going to talk about Maxwell Chikumbutso, which he's a very innovative person, inventor out of East Africa. We're going to go back over him today. And then another one I found this morning, I don't know if it's cabal, but MIDI Cool Fridge, which is out of India. One of the products that they build are refrigerators that don't need electricity to keep things cool. Not frozen, but to keep food cool and fresh. That's what they had. So, but cabals and MIDI Cool Fridge, that company, and the reason why I structured it, the title, versus Max Chikumbutso. I don't know the whole operation of Chikumbutso because he's now in California. Is when they got him out in California, from at least what I've read, as a lone wolf. Most cabals, matter of fact, all cabals, including MIDI Cool Fridge, which I said one of their MIDI Cool Fridge probably has a 300 product line, but the one I'm most interested in right now is their refrigerator that doesn't need electricity. They have a 300 product line, and they've got several people. So They operate as a pack, what I call a wolf pack. Just like when I played the, you know, I played the Nine Friends audio at least once a week on here too, if not twice a week. But it's like the guy says, many hands make light work. So cabals have many people. They might start off as an individual, but soon, and typically it's with family members, until they get to a point where they have to go outside the factory, I mean family, they have to operate what I call a wolf pack. Many cool fridge in India, they do the same. Maxwell Chikumbutsu, it seems like he was enticed by the help of others, not blood-related, and not even in his own country of Zimbabwe. Thus, he's in California right now. I don't know what kind of paperwork. I don't know the full backstory, because I just discovered him about 3 days ago myself, two or three days ago myself. Now, before I go further into Mini Cool Fridge and cabals, just real quick now with Kimmy, you've got a product line of 69 products, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Now, Robin mentioned we need to do a webinar for each one of those. Well, that's what she mentioned, but you weren't on the phone when she mentioned it to me. So,
yeah.
And she's not on the phone right now. So what do you think, 69 different webinars or what?
Actually, I don't think 69. I mean, it's possible we could do that. My thought was to actually do webinars on different health topics.
Okay.
And then integrate the different products that I have that could help with those health problems.
All right. Okay. I tell you what if it's all right.
It may be more interesting that way, more informative.
Yeah, I agree. What we can do is, offline, we can tie down Robin, not today, but what's tomorrow, Friday?
Yes.
What I'll do, you know what, contact Robin and see when we can do something offline. It can be this afternoon or tomorrow or Saturday. Just
okay.
Take your pick. So we can, because,
okay.
You know, the way we'll be talking about, be, you know, it, I don't want to let the cat out the bag all that on a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
yeah, let's contact her, because more than likely she's in, I don't know, she's on the West Coast. We're on the, you're in the Midwest, and I'm on the East Coast. So, contact her, and then we'll do it offline that way.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's Kimmy Kay, and she – oh, matter of fact, before she goes, Kimmy, for people who want health and wellness products, what are some of the products that you have available, and how can they contact you if they're interested?
We have all different kinds of things. If people struggle with sleep, if they struggle with weight loss, gut health, detoxifying your body of all kinds of heavy metals, stuff like that, stuff that you breathe, pollution. I can be reached at 614-869-4949, or you can contact me through Instagram or Facebook at Kimmy K, K-I-M-I-K-A-Y-E. So that's 614-869-4949.
Okay, great, great. Speaking of cabals, I'm trying to blend it into American culture. I guess some Native American tribes are de facto cabals, because once again, that term cabal is really useless. Family-based businesses out of South Korea. that the gigantic ones. But a lot of Native American tribes have what I would call de facto cabals. But, you know, I don't know how tribes are run now. But, all right, for instance, I was out in Muskogee County, Oklahoma. And the tribe, well, this particular tribe, I guess the Muskogee tribe, they own a casino. Now, but I don't know how tribes are made up. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know if they're all blood related. I don't know how that runs. I do know this about Taft, Oklahoma, which Taft, Oklahoma, when, all right, they were awarded anywhere from 80 to 160 acres worth of land. Now, with Sarah Rector, or the late Sarah Rector, who I've covered on here a few times, Sarah Rector was a Native American, and oil was discovered on her land. Now, she was born and raised in Taft, Oklahoma. Her family home, her childhood home, still stands, and somebody still lives in it as we speak right now. Every time I go to Taft, because Taft's not that big anyway, you know, I go past the house probably once a day when I'm out there. So, or the family house. I haven't gone up to the door and knocked on it. But people still live in that her childhood house. Now, her 160 acres of land was located 50 miles outside of Taft, Oklahoma. I haven't been to that location yet because I just found out about the location about a week ago. But getting back to the origins of Taft, Oklahoma, from what I just found out, is because they named it, Taft was originally named Twine, Oklahoma, after a lawyer, an African-American lawyer. Well, he could have been Native American too, though. But in any event, but before he got there, before they named it, I think four families or four individuals within families put their 4 acres, their four parcels together. Imagine four people with 160 acres of land each. Okay, let me put it this way. If I got 160 acres, Kimmy K's got 160 acres, Pianchi's got 160 acres, and Beezy's got 160 acres, then we all decide, you know what, let's just put, and we're all connected, and we just say, you know what, let's merge these four, our 160 acres each, and form a town. That's how Taft, Oklahoma, as well as many other towns, got started. So, I do know this about Taft. There are several people that live in Taft, Oklahoma, and Taft's got maybe 250 to 300 people tops that live there. But there are people that live in Taft that can trace their bloodline back to the origins of Taft. Next time I go there, I'll be doing some genealogy hunting. But in any event, so I would call that a de facto cabal. Okay. Kimmy, if you got somewhere else to go, we can talk this afternoon along with Robin. But if not, you can also stay. Area code 414, your mic is open. 414, area code. Okay. I'll come back to them later. All right, so if anybody's got any comments, questions on cabals, I'll go more into detail in Midi Cool Fridge. Midi Cool Fridge is a company out of India that they make, and it might be a family-based business. They make refrigerators that don't need electricity. And then we also have Maxwell Chikumbutsu, who we talked about yesterday, because we started kind of late yesterday. Matthew Chikumbutsu, who is an inventor, or I call him an innovator. This guy, one of his things is solar-powered television, or should we call it radio wave for television, because he's come out with a television that can operate without solar panels. He's found a way to convert radio waves into energy, electricity, that can power your flat-screen TV. Among other things, you know, electric vehicles as well. All right, let me see. 414, you available? Okay, your hand is up.
Yes.
You
yes,
might have
I'm available.
On mute. Oh, okay.
I'm
yes,
available.
Sir. Good morning. Good morning. You're up.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
You're up. You must be in Wisconsin, it seems like.
Yes, sir. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I've been through there.
Okay.
Cold
man.
Up there.
Yeah, I was listening. Okay. I was listening to your show, and I agree as far as the land, if we all can just come together, but it had to be a corporation name, not an individual, because the Constitution, which is ain't nothing but a corporation. And
right.
Yes, and that's why the individual who owns land to do that. But if a corporation owns land, then you can have what you're talking about.
Well, you know what? That's what happened with Taft, because Taft, Oklahoma, as well as a gazillion other towns around the country, none of that land, after the families or the individuals got, most likely families, got together, they got a municipal corporate charter. So Taft, Oklahoma, is a municipality. They have a municipal charter.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. That's what they did. And
but the Rosedale, Oklahoma, and them, they didn't get incorporated. See, if they got incorporated, the corporation could have sued the government. See, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're incorporated, the government cannot run over a corporation and tell or force a corporation. See? And that's the difference.
Okay. All I know is Taft, they have a municipal charter. I do know that. Now, what they do with it, I don't know. But, you know, it's a municipal corporation. But that was good feedback on that, sir. People can essentially, it might be a little bit more difficult to do these days, but essentially people can get out here and, you know, if you can, you know, pick up, substantial parcels of land, which is still possible. You know, there's a lot of undeveloped land all over the country.
You know that, right? You know that.
What's that?
To the United States of America, there's America, a country, and then there's the United States of America, a corporation. See,
I've heard that. Well, break down the distinction.
Oh, it's in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution. And we're being run by the corporation instead of the country. The country been sold out to the corporation. They do it with their companies.
I've heard of the two. I just never knew the distinction between the two.
Yes, sir. I went to school, you know, where I studied on corporations. And the first founders of America, when they found out that, you know, they can get more and do more if they have two separate entities, one as a country and one as a corporation. and it's the corporation that enslaved it.
Let's get some definitions out here. What would be the definition? I know what the corporation. What's the definition? All right, the corporations is there for commerce. I take for granted. Now, define what the country is, though.
Okay, it's the corporation that enslaved us. See, the country couldn't do it because then it'd be war crimes. So they had to incorporate. It's the corporation that went around the world and gathered us and created slaves. You have to read the Constitution, and that's where we lose. I never forget my elders used to always tell me, know the law, know the Constitution, because that's where they get us. There's two different entities. See, the country is the one that the judges, the laws, you know, to protect. But the corporation has no laws. That's why there's a clause in there. If the corporation get out of hand, the power go back to the people, which is the country.
You know, we're going to have to do a whole podcast on that, man. All right. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
Yes, sir. And
we
got to
do a whole podcast on that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you, all my life, I'm 52, all my life I researched and seek, which it says if you really want to know the truth of things, you got to seek it. And I ain't talking about just books. I'm talking about getting out here, moving around, talking to individuals that was around or their parents was around at the time. I learned all this when I was young, back in the 70s. From my ancestors, who I had a great grandmother was still alive, who was born in the mid 1800s in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she told me a whole lot that they don't teach, that they didn't hear. See, and that's why they were able to destroy our towns and stuff, because we didn't know about corporations. If we would have got incorporated, we can go, the family can go and get all that land back. But since we weren't incorporated, it's lost.
Okay, we're going to have to do a whole podcast on that. Hold, I'm going to put you on hold because we got a lot of calls here. But I got your number, but hold on, though. Don't go nowhere. 614 area code, your mic is open. 614 area code. Okay. All right. We'll come back to you, 614. All right, we're talking about story from yesterday, Chibos, with your family, the root of what we're talking today, although they're de facto family businesses that have reached your gargantuan heights really around the world, but Chibos that we started talking about are coming out of South Korea. Although anybody, anywhere in the world, any family can do the same thing no matter where they are. So Cabal's Mini Cool Fridge, which I believe is a Cabal or a Cabal in the making in India, they make, out of their 300 product line, they make a refrigerator that doesn't use electricity. And Maxwell Chukwumbuso, who is a very well-renowned innovator, and he's made a solar-powered TV that doesn't need solar panels, a car that an electric vehicle that doesn't need the charging station that, well, people haven't even caught up the charging station where they are yet. In any event, those are primary topics, of course, anything you guys want to talk about. 410 area code, your mic is open.
Hotel, Brother L.A., how you doing?
Fine.
I got the text about, well, I'm going to start off with the Chibos and the Korean family businesses. I got wind of these things back in the 90s when I used to do a lot of reading and I used to sell books. And I ran across Koretsu's. In Japan. And they're
Japan?
The same as Chibos. Huh?
Who in Japan?
Koretsu's. Those are the companies like Sumitomo's and Honda's and Toyota's.
Oh,
and
okay.
That.
In other words, the Japanese name for... All right, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, all of those that operate on the same principles. The only thing Koretsu's is families that created the banks that centralized all of their companies and the subsidiaries and everything. But what I'm going to get to is this. All of those are family businesses, and they're all over India and Asia. In mm-hmm. India, you got the Mattel family and the Patels, P-A-T-E-Ls.
Man,
and
Patel's
all these hotels.
Patels over here, too. Let me tell you a quick story. You know, every time I go out to Taft, Oklahoma, which is in, because Taft didn't have any accommodations, but so I had to stay in Muskogee, which is about 15, 20 minutes away. So it was one weekend. I got there before Memorial Day, but they were sold out, so I had to go. I had to go to another motel, which was no big deal because they had a row of motels across the street because I stayed at a Motel 6. But, man, every motel that I went to, and maybe even a Motel 6 that I was at, was owned by, it had to be a Patel. Every last one of them.
That's right. That's right. And they're in other number of businesses all over the world, and they come from a region. They're different clans of Patels, but
right.
You can consider them as Shables too. And
they
the
are.
Thing that we don't
I consider them
we
that.
Don't
yeah
we don't realize as a people. And look, they send all of that money back to that region in India to help their village out. And there are several different families within that Patel group. But they mainly reside in a special part of India. And the thing is, what we don't realize as black folk is, and the brother that preceded me really, you know, he really touched on it. We have Shables in our community. If you look at the mega churches in our community and in white communities too, those are Shable type organizations. Take for an example Fred Price. When Fred Price died, his son took it over. And I'm quite sure when his son leaves
you know who runs Crenshaw Christian Center. You're right. His son, who's the youngest of Fred's and Betty's children, he's the face in that pulpit. But you know who really runs Crenshaw's Christian Center is his eldest daughter, Angela.
That's right.
She runs that
That's right.
Thing.
Yeah. But they're all family. They're all
yeah,
family
yeah,
that runs the
every family. Last one of them is a blood relative.
That's
every
right.
Every one of
That's
Fred
right.
Price's children is a blood relative. And all every one of their spouses are in the business.
That's right. It's a family thing. So we
yeah.
have Shable organizations in our community, but they're mostly in religion. Now, Earl Graves' organization is run by his son and family.
You know what?
You're
absolutely
but,
right. Earl Graves and his wife had three sons. And before, because Earl Graves passed away a few short years ago, but his one of his sons, I don't know if all three are in the business, but they probably are. But one hit runs it. I know that for sure. If
right, I know
all
Butch,
three in the
Butch,
business.
Yeah, Butch runs it. But all I'm trying to say is that we have examples of Shables in
right.
our community, but mostly they're in religion because now it, right down there where Warren Houston lives, what's his name, Ivy Hilliard, he has a big mega church down there in Houston. And
the white dude?
No, he's a black guy. He's a black
Houston?
Guy.
All right, I know. Let's see who Tony. All right, out of Dallas is what's that dude? T.D. Jakes.
Yeah,
You may as well say he's got a chibble.
Yeah, and I think
he's in Dallas. He's starting in West Virginia. Tony
yeah.
Evans.
Yeah.
I think he's in Fort Worth. But you're right. We do have them a lot of them are religious based.
Yeah, and, you know, with the exception of Earl Graves and what is it?
Well, when
Black
he was
Enterprise.
Living, yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Graves has got Black Enterprise. When he was living, John H. Johnson, his wife Ethel, and Linda Johnson, their adopted daughter, that was with Ebony and Jet magazine. But Johnson and his wife passed on, and then I think the daughter, Linda, I think she doesn't run it like she used to. She still might be in there some kind of way. And she's had a child. I know she's divorced, but I don't know how that. I don't think it's Johnson on top of Johnson like it used to be. And then with
They sold it.
Okay. Then it was Johnson Products Company, the Afro Sheen Kit people, George Johnson. I think Joan Johnson passed away. I think George still might be alive, but I don't know what they still are, but when they were bankrolling Soul Train, it was a Chabot, yeah.
Yeah, but they sold theirs. They sold that to, I can't think of the company now for lack of a better term, but anyway, it's a French company, I think, that bought it. But what I'm trying to say is we see examples of all of that because I know in your conversation the day before, you were saying, well, you know, black families could get together and do it. Well, black families have been doing it, and the majority of black businesses are Chabots. You know, it started by one guy, and he leaves it to his family and on and on. But and you know, you can't forget the Kennedys and Rockefellers.
True.
But the thing, most of all of these corporations that you see now are Chabots, except the ones that get listed on the exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. Yeah, and all of them. And, you know, I would like to comment on the brother that has the radio frequency thing, but I'll let you get to that section of the conversation.
Well, just real quick before we get to that, there's a couple of companies, I guess you can call them institutions, that I wish they would have morphed into Chabots. Motown, but Berry Gordy sold that company. And I'm looking at with as many children as Berry Gordy had, and I don't know Berry Gordy, I don't know his business and the backstory and all that, but he had enough blood relatives around where that, in my opinion, could have been a Chabot. Because Motown still exists. But it's not under, you know, you know, because even Smokey Robinson, used to be a vice president for Motown. But anyway, Berry Gordy sold that, so I wish that would have been one, because it's still in operation. And then the late Don Cornelius, I don't know how many children Don Cornelius had. I know he had at least one son. But
yeah,
Don Cornelius sold Soul Train. I mean, because he had not only the TV show, he had the Soul Train Awards, which still goes on today. Soul Train Music Awards, that still exists today. And he used to have the Soul Train Comedy Awards. And talk about identity, Beasley. Those, I mean, you know, everything Don Cornelius did was a slick, solid production. But I don't know what happened. He sold that off long before he, he committed suicide, but way before he passed, he had sold that. Why, I don't know.
Well, I think he has the content rights.
Right.
Because I know I've seen where his son has authorized the usage of some of the Soul Train footage. But going back to Berry Gordy sold the brand, but he didn't sell the publishing, which is the guts of the music business. So I don't know how it was done. Berry Gordy's still alive, so I'm quite sure he controls it. But the thing is, I guess when he moves on, his daughter and grandchildren will probably still control those publishing rights. Because that's where your money is in music.
I don't know. I had to look it up. But I know he's got a daughter by Diana Ross, and he's got another one. Hazel Gordy, who was married to Jermaine Jackson. Man, can you imagine these people just the amount of wealth that they've amassed?
Oh, yeah, because Motown was making $300 million back in the day, back in the
right.
80s and 70s, you know,
right.
I mean.
Barry Gordy and John H. Johnson were the first two black, and there hasn't been that many black people that made the Forbes 400. You're right. They were making $350 million a year back in the 70s.
Yeah. And the only reason the black hair care business didn't survive and not making as much money as they could have made is those black hair care manufacturers never got together and controlled the product by going ahead on and putting up these hair care products like the Koreans are doing today. They tried to put their stuff into quite establishments instead of developing a standalone distribution system. That's where they failed at.
I understand Dudley Products out of Kernerville, North Carolina. And I heard, now I don't know if it's true, but I heard that Dudley and his wife Eunice got divorced. And then since that divorce, the company's revenue just hasn't been what it used to be. But the daughter, though, one of his daughters runs it, though.
Probably so. I'm not familiar with that. But the thing is, we have examples of Shables in our community. It's just that, like you say, we don't have enough of them. And we don't expand. We don't expand like other families' businesses. That's the thing. And I guess I don't know if it's like a capital. It's just that we are not very aggressive in controlling what the products that we have. So, you know, I'm gonna let you go on and talk about it. But I wanted to share that with you that you
okay.
know you were
well,
saying.
Well, let me throw this out there before you go. Let me throw this out before you go because I'm gonna get into chicken boost in a moment. There was one. A black American cabal that, man, I think they could have made billions of dollars. And maybe they still can if they can ever rebound from this. On Oprah's network, which I haven't watched in quite a while, there was a TV show called Sweetie Pies. There's probably some, they probably got episodes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But last year? The eldest Miss Robbie, who used to sing for Ike and Tina Turner, she became a restaurateur in St. Louis, Missouri. And she opened up Sweetie Pies, which is a soul food restaurant. And then I think they expanded to the eldest, or her, she had a son. He opened up a restaurant, and then she had a nephew. He had all Sweetie Pies, you know, three locations, all blood relatives. But allegedly, I mean, he's been arrested. I think he's still in jail. I haven't followed the case. But the eldest son allegedly had one of his cousins killed for some type of insurance money. Once again, the case hasn't. I don't know the progress on the case. This happened last year. But had, in my opinion, they had the basis of something that really could have been large. And I'm assuming that her original locations are still open. The original one I think is still open. And she had another nephew with one. Now, the oldest son, I don't know what happened with his. But that's why I say allegedly, because this thing has not gone to court. Allegedly, he killed a cousin for insurance money. I'm thinking, man, why would a person do that when you got a platinum mine? with that, you know, with a soul food restaurant type thing. Because anyway, that's my take on that part.
Well, let me say this before you leave. And again, I got to let you go because I know there's other callers. I go back to this thing, and I know I sound like a broke record. Number one, we don't have a culture. If you look at all of those shables you're talking about, Koretsu's and all of those India family corporations and Hong Kong type Koretsu's and shables.
Right.
Their culture goes back a long way. And like Warren Houston said the other day when you was discussing this, their families have been intact for thousands of years. And they do everything around their culture and their ethnicity. And
right.
That's why you have a failure like Sweetie Pies, and you have a failure like the Johnsons and hair care products and other shables that we have in our community. Now, the preachers, they keep their stuff pretty much intact because they revolve around religion, and they're able to go in and more or less have discipline within their families, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when you don't have an identity and you don't have a culture around your identity and you don't practice self-preservation and survival of the fittest, all of your institutions are going to be in disarray, and you can't organize institutions to support those type shables and koretsu companies and everything else. And that's where we mess up at. Because if you notice all of those Asians, like you talked about scandals and all of that stuff within, within these organizations, but it's very few because they have a strict standard of conduct and a code of ethics.
Right.
And that's what separates them from us. And it's very tightly structured. And that's why they are able to go in all around the world like Hyundai and LG and what's the other ones you name? I mean, you can, and then you got Toyota.
Samsung, Honda, I think Mitsubishi also.
Yeah, all of those. I mean, the thing is, look at that culture. Look at how they surround themselves
Toyota.
Around it.
Right.
Toyota, all of them. And the thing is, that's why American companies and American culture can't really do away with them. Now, you can come in and really disrupt the things that we do internally in our communities and our families, because Houston elaborated on that too, how fractured our families are. But see, those people value family. They value community. And they value their race. And we don't. So, I mean, I'm going to end on that note. If you look at it and just analyze it, that's why they're able to do what they have to do. Even whites, Jews, all of them revolve around the institution of family, and all of their institutions support family and support their ethnicity and their race. And we have allowed others to disrupt and fractionalize our institutions, starting with family and anything that we build. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. And I'll end on that.
Right. All right. Yeah, thank you for that feedback, Beasley. You know what I'm thinking, like, now on the topic of reparations. The Ronald Reagan, when he was alive, he signed the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which was reparations. And y'all can fact check me on online with this, starting with you can go to Wikipedia on that one. Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which was reparations for Japanese Americans. But if we look at and how they got that was, you know, they had to bankroll that stuff. If you read the history of it. But if you look at, let's just take two people out of the equation. The Honda family, which God knows they bankrolled people from the dog catcher on a local level all the way up to the White House. And the Toyota family, same thing. You're absolutely right. If you look at the paper trail, particularly who was making the political contributions, the PAC money, the super PAC money, and all that, to get that in, that's how they were able to get reparations for the Japanese Americans via the Civil Liberties Act of 1988. And in my opinion, if black folk in the United States seriously want reparations, I agree with Beasley, we're going to have to come to some type of agreement on identity and then bankroll it into reality. But we also got to come up with a definition of what do we want that reparation to look like, but that's a whole different podcast. Anyway, let's go to 414 and see if they're available. Area code 414, your mic is open. Okay, going once. You might be on mute, 414, because your hand is up.
I'm on. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Any comments, sir, on anything we've been talking about?
Okay, I want to say, you said you've been in Milwaukee before. You've been through Wisconsin. And in these towns here, it ain't got a name. It's a big sign. It's a sign. It's called Incorporated. And then they have a population, and then they have a number.
Mm-hmm.
That is my fact. See, corporation, listen, let me tell you what they do. See, when we did a corporation, we put our name down. Instead of just putting a last name, the family name, you put about 10 different family names down. Now, this is what they do. That same corporation with the different family go buy land. Then they label it incorporated, and they incorporate it. Then they come with a name, bam. Now they got control of everything. The economics, they got control of the law, everything. So anybody who comes there, operate through them, must go through them. This is how they do it. It's called incorporating. Then, not just corporate, because there's a thing called in business legitimacy. You ever heard of that? And I'm going to tell
say
you,
that again.
Attorneys, there's a thing called legitimacy when you get incorporated.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Now,
I've heard of that, yeah. Is it legal?
Now,
it's
when
legitimate.
You go to attorneys, a lot of attorneys don't want to do this for you because then they know, oh, shit, we can't touch you. You are free to buy up and own just like us. That is the secret. That's all I want to say. Listen, quit putting stuff in your name. Quit being the face of something. Let the incorporation become, and then you'll be able to go anywhere you want to. But that's the difference. See, we want to be the face, which is the individual, even though you incorporate, but you're not a business because you're an individual. The business doesn't have a face. It has a logo. It has a patent. See, these are all the things that we don't do. When you incorporate, you patent what it is you do. See, this is all the things that will hold you to be independent, now can come do whatever without your approval. But they're not going to tell you this. And that's legitimacy.
Now, you
the government
got
has
a point there. I'm thinking about two people in particular, because the nail that, when you have stuff in your name individually, the nail that sticks out gets hit. Now, the two people I'm thinking of is, number one would be the late Michael Jackson, which everybody and their mama knew that Neverland and the Beatles catalog and all that had his name on it. And he was sued. I mean, several times, but he went through a whole lot. But had he not had his name on any of that, because you can still control stuff without having your name on it. But I
Michael
think
Jackson was smart. Michael Jackson found out what I found out. He incorporated his name. See, the Jacksons became incorporated. See, it's a family name. And now when you corporate, you can become what you want to become, a king, whatever, because you have domain. and you're protected by the laws and the government. Business. Learn business. Go to school for business law, because business law will teach you all the laws of the land and how to use it and operate it. I'm a stop because I know I'm going to be getting calls from them talking about, keep it up, we're going to do something to you. So things like this, fellas, can't be on air. This has to be when brothers get together and spoken, because they don't tell you nothing on the air what they're doing. That's number one. In business, every company is a competitor against each other.
Mm.
See, you got to know business. You go in a different business, they ain't supposed to tell you nothing. You your own entity, meaning it's a person. It's a living creature in this law land. It has more rights than you have if you know what to do with it and how to get it legitimate. Then, when you do that, the one who's running it, the one who's the CEO or families, you're all turning in all your government identification, certificate, SSI, birth certificate, ID, turn it in to the places you got it from and say you no longer want to be American citizen, you want to be a foreigner. Now let me tell you what it does. Now you got the international laws protecting you now. Now, the police, when the police pull you over and you tell them your name and they look it up, they got to let you go because you no longer, just like a corporation, is part of the land of law, but you operate. Now I'm done. I hope all who hear write it down, because God, our maker, is still on top and running things. Don't think he ain't got his people out here, and I'm one of them. And God ain't got no sets. God ain't got no titles. We all one. He said, Abraham, your people come from all walks of life. So stop this killing each other, because the devil wants you dead, because he never wanted to bow down to you. When God said, bow down to that man, and anybody who won't bow down to the original man is of the devil. And roll with the devil. Learn business, because even in business law, it tells you about the devil. It tells you about life. But they're not going to tell you this. They know where to put the secrets at, fellas. They know we don't like reading. We don't like seeking Jack. Do your research.
All right. Thanks for the feedback. Okay, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back and go over Maxwell Chikumbutsu, who is a very impressive innovator from Zimbabwe in Africa, but he now lives in the United States in the state of California. Okay, I'm back. That was a shorter song than I thought it would be. Okay, before we go to Matthew Chicken Boots, so 602 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. How you doing?
Fine. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, too. Shout out to Mr. Lewis Gregory from the winning team. He called in. I've been listening to the show, and I love the topic of discussion. I'm getting a lot of detailed information, and I'm going to be Googling some of the things y'all been talking about. But all I can say is we got to take back control. It's very important. We control our own destiny, and destiny starts today, not tomorrow. Today is what we do today is going to determine our tomorrow. That's all I have to say, my brother.
Okay, I appreciate it. And the reason why I brought up this topic of Chabals is they all started with one individual, or maybe a husband or wife, or mostly, or just a single person. And they built it. It's a family. I mean, Beasley brought up a good example right over here in the United States. There are many. I mean, basically, a mega church is a family. Basically, most churches are family-based businesses. You know, some might stay on the storefront level, which is fine. Some go mid-range. Some become mega churches. I mean, Fred Price, Crenshaw Christian Center, is a religious cabal. With the Price family, you can go on their website and look who runs it. Angela Evans, that's his eldest daughter. She's the CEO and has been the CEO for some decades now. She runs that whole shebang. You might see the youngest son, Fred, Fred Price, because he had another son who passed away through an automobile accident. But you might see the youngest son in the pulpit. The person who runs Crenshaw Christian Center is Angela Evans. And her husband is employed. And all of the Price children and all of their spouses run. Now, they have other employees now, but the core of it is Price by bloodline. So as Beasley correctly pointed out, that's a good example of a religious cabal. T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on down the line. I imagine Oral Roberts is the same way. I've been out to Oral Roberts University out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I imagine Oral Roberts set that thing up. I believe it's – I haven't kept track of Oral Roberts in a while, but I know he had a son that was in the pulpit. He still might be, but I haven't kept up with that in quite some time. But they do exist. We just need more of them. Anyway, now – Maxwell Chikumbusu, if he doesn't have a family, I hope he gets one together. And because let me get online and read. He's come up with an electric car that does not require a charging station, as we know it today. But still, electric cars are still new to the American culture. They exist. They've been around, but the average neighborhood doesn't have one yet. Let's see. I can't find them. Okay, he's got a solar power TV. Okay, well, let me get one of the many articles about him. Let's see. Okay, I read this yesterday. USA, United States of America, snatches top Zimbabwean and veteran Matthew Chikumbuzu I mean, Butso. This guy also dropped out of school. He's a self-taught engineer. So I'll read it from yesterday. The United States government has given Zimbabwe's prolific inventor Maxwell Chikumbutsu a new home in the popular state of California. Chikumbutsu is the founder of SAITH, that's S-A-I-T-H Holdings Incorporated. They do have a website, so you can look them up online. And they have a Facebook page, too, on which he made headlines for several for his serial innovations, which include the world's first ever green power generator, which can produce electricity using radio frequencies, an electric powered car, which doesn't consume fuel, at least gasoline, and multi-fuel helicopter, and many more. According to the Zimbabwean Observer Online, Chikumbutsu, from his new base in the United States of America, see, I wish he would go back. I don't know what kind of, you know, if he's over here. There's some type of deal in writing where, I don't know. Anyway, he expressed disappointment that Africa did not see what the United States government saw in his groundbreaking inventions. You know, there's a movie on Netflix. I think it's still on Netflix. Disney produced it. I knew about this guy way before Disney got hold of the story. It's a guy about a young man, William Kamwamba. And you got it. There's a lot of William Kamwambas and Maxwell Chikumbutsus, I mean Butsos, in Africa. There's plenty of them. I want you to check out the you can go on Amazon Kindle. You can get the book. They got an audio book. They got the Kindle book. Or you can go on Netflix and watch the movie, The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. This is by a guy, and it's about William Kamwamba. Let me spell his last name. K-A-M-K-W-A-M-B-A. Kemp. I pronounce it Kamwamba, but it's K-A-M-K. Kemp. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Kamwamba. One word. K-A-M-K-M-A-B-A. William Kamwamba from Malawi. Matter of fact, let me look up his, but The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, he's got a hell of a backstory. Let me get his Wikipedia page. And the first year I was on here, I reached him through Facebook, and I had a short chat with him to get him on here, but by that time, the powers that be had him. He got a scholarship. Dartmouth University scooped him up out of Malawi, you know, got him up in Dartmouth. Rest is history. William is 34 years old today. All right, let me read about him. Because I think by reading about, if you know about him and watch the movie The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, you'll have more of appreciation from this guy, Maxwell Chikumbutsu. All right, William Kamwamba, born August 5th, 1987, is a Malawian inventor, engineer, and author. Mind you, self-taught engineer. He gained fame in his country around 2001 when he built a wind turbine to power multiple electrical appliances in his family's house in a rural area of Malawi. Let's see. He used bicycle parts. Long story short, read about him on Wikipedia. What this guy did, his parents couldn't afford to send him. They didn't have the money to pay for his school fees. And, you know, the area of Malawi where he was at. But he went to the library on the regular and he found a book or some books and he taught himself how to build a wind turbine that would generate electricity. Now, if you go on the Wikipedia page, there's a picture of his first turbine, wind turbine, that worked and that powered his house. Before that, his family had to use candles or kerosene or stuff like that. And later on, he built another one. And and white folks, he got on the white folks. Once again, a prophet is not outer than his own country. White folks got wind of the story, scooped him up to Dartmouth. Disney got wind of the story, made a movie about it. So read about William Kwamba. Watch the movie if you can, The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. Read his e-book, The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. He's got an audio of that, too, if you just want to do the audio. And then check out Maxwell Chikumbutsu. That's spelled Chikumbutso. There are – one of the things I do, because I like to check out videos from hobbyists, but my favorite learning videos to get ideas – basically, to a high degree, come out of, hands down, Africa, number one. I would say on a scale of 1 to 100, I would say 75 to 80% of the what I call spectacular ideas that I come across, they're coming out of Africa. And then behind that, various Asian countries, including India. With 75 to 80%, hands down, Africa. And the other, I mean, there's three young ladies out of West Africa. They made an electric generator using urine. But they're unbelievable innovative minds over there. I mean, talk about making bricks without straw, they do it. But Maxwell Chikumbutsu, he's over here. I like to meet some of these people over there, so I'm going to have to make a few trips over there to meet some of these people. In any event, any comments on Maxwell Chikumbutsu? Now, what I would like to see people like Maxwell before they get on certain people's radar, I like to hook up with some of these people and see them. Because you can't get involved in everything. I got a full plate already. But I would like to get some. I would like to see some of these people form their own cabals in their neck of the woods where they don't have to leave. Like William Kwamba. You know, get behind somebody like him before he gets on the radar, so to speak. Or get a hold of somebody, meet another, because there are the Maxwell Chikumbutsus all throughout Africa. Particularly sub-Saharan Africa. You know, typically these people are not university educated. They're not university-trained engineers. They're tinkerers or hobbyists, as I call them. But, I mean, they really come up with some good stuff, not only with, you know, the mechanical or technological stuff, but, you know, with farming and you name it. So, Matthew Tikumbutsu, you can read about him online, and the last name is spelled Chikumbutso. Maxwell's the first name. Maxwell Tikumbutsu. Or Butso. Butso, not Sue. I'm thinking about, I'm mixing that in with Asian pronunciations. Matthew Tikumbutsu. Butso. And, but I classify him as a lone wolf. That might have changed by now. But he ended up in the United States, in California, when he was a lone wolf. Somebody who had a wolf pack in California got him to come to California. I like to see somebody like him organize his own wolf pack in his neck of the woods. And same thing with William Kambamba. Now, William did have a family. You know what? Check out the movie. Check out the movie, because although Hollywood takes dramatic license, but read his book also. But number one, William, due to the fact that his family did not have the funds, wasn't allowed to go to school in Malawi. So then the librarian showed him some mercy. Now, mind you, if he didn't pay the school fees, he wasn't even supposed to use the library. But the librarian cut him some slack, and he found a book, and he went to the junkyard using what he saw in the book and built that windmill, you know, that produced energy, electricity. Imagine you're living in a little rural village in a developing country, and nobody in that village has electricity. And you put together something where you're the first house in that village that has electricity. That's what he did. And believe it or not, there's a lot of villages around the world that still don't have it. Now, there's another lady, I've talked about her a couple of times, out of Germany, Ursula Sladek. Let me see if I can find our audio of her. Ursula Sladek and her husband, and about two or three neighbors started meeting at the neighborhood pub in a village over in Germany. They didn't like the idea of nuclear energy, being a nuclear energy plant powering their town and being so close to town because of potential accidents that could happen with a nuclear power plant. So long story short, they raised the money. It took them over 7 years to do it. They raised the money. They bought the nuclear power plant, which produced electricity for the town. They bought it and shut it down and then replaced it with their own solar power plant. Matter of fact, I just found an audio on it. I'll let you tell her. I'll let her tell it. You'll hear her words.
In 1986, when the Chernobyl disaster sent radioactive clouds all over Europe, we knew we had to do something against nuclear energy. many parents were really concerned about their children. And so some of us formed a group named Parents for a Nuclear Free Future.
We began to educate ourselves in how to save energy. We started in our own home, and then we tried to motivate others to do the same. We wanted the energy company to support us, but they told us no, because we want to sell energy and not to save energy. And so one day we had the idea to take over the grid.
Citizens could generate their own power from solar, hydro, and wind.
Small producers are paid when they feed their electricity into the grid. Consumers are rewarded when they save energy.
So then there was only one question. How do we get the power grid? When the election came up to decide who controls the grid, we knew it was now or never.
EWS, the Shunau Electrical Power Company, held two citizen referendums and won them both.
The power company said, well, you have the votes, but we have the grid. And we want 9 million Dutch mark, and either you pay it or we don't give you the grid. So we had a campaign asking people to help us raising this money.
It took EWS 7 long years to purchase the electrical grid.
This power company was afraid that this was the beginning of a movement, and it was.
Under Ursula's plan, homeowners have small power plants called cogenerators. EWS is now collectively owned by more than 1,000 citizens.
A year after we had taken the grid, the German electricity market was deregulated. Every person could buy electricity from the company he had chosen. And that is the idea of renewable power, because it's decentralized.
This is grassroots at its best. More than 100,000 people now have the electric current from this very small city, and they are very proud of it.
We want to have 100% renewable energy in 2050. All studies say it is possible to do that, and so we will do it.
For outstanding environmental achievement in Europe, the 2011 Goldman Environmental Prize is awarded to Ursula Sladek, Schunau, Germany.
And that was started by a husband, wife, and two or three neighbors meeting at the little neighborhood pub in Chanel, and that's right near the Black Forest area. And I haven't been to that location in Germany, but I got introduced to renewable energy in Germany. But and now that company, a little neighborhood village, man, that started in the pub, now they're taking over 100 million euro a year. That they control. And that story that you just heard, that's where the ball is going. As I speak, there's a whole lot of little of these companies around the globe that are starting, they're educating themselves, just like she said, they have to educate themselves, they're organizing their money, they're doing things on a small scale to start. They're firing the grid. They're firing the grid. So that's where the ball's going. I imagine that will be happening. Well, you do have some rural co-ops over here already, but I think it's going to even get more personalized, where just like right now, At one time, Ma Bell had a monopoly on all phones in the United States. Then they broke it up. Now everybody's got, you can own your own phone now, the hardware of it, and you select which service you want. Right now, there's several, I don't know how many, but like for instance where I'm at, I have the option of getting municipal water. But where I'm at, sitting at right now, I got a private well with a private filtering system using the reverse osmosis. So does one of my next door neighbors. So does the neighbors across the street times, I don't know how many because I don't get in everybody's business. But at least three that I know of that I can just look out the window or go outside and throw a rock and off the grid legally. You know, now we got hookups with the city because that's how the code was. But now, what I'm saying, I'd like to say this. I don't get a water bill. Also, in my neck of the woods, as well as other parts of the United States, there are people that they can be totally 100% off the grid when it comes to electric, where they get no nothing. No, they're not running electric. They're not running water. That's what, and that audio I just played for you with Ursula Slavette, that's where the ball is going. Now, the way this stuff rolls out typically doesn't start off in a big city like a New York, Chicago, or whatever. It's a lot of this happens just like with Sam Walton. In little towns, Walmart started in Bentonville, Iowa. But he was doing what they called five and dimes back then. But these little, if you want to find out what will be here tomorrow, we want to find out the jobs that are going to be in demand tomorrow or the new innovations that will be here tomorrow or real soon, go to the teeny tiny towns of the United States. And if you get a chance to travel, when you travel, travel to a foreign country and then go to the small towns and villages. That's where you'll see the innovations and the new jobs and the new industries of tomorrow. But that thing with Ursula Sadek, no, it's not going to be in St. Louis, Missouri tomorrow. But it might be in Podunk, Missouri today. Podunk, Missouri, population under 200 people. And let me pull out this stat. I'm going to put it at one number. There are at least 19,500 municipalities in the United States. I'm not talking about unincorporated places, but there are 19,500 municipalities in the United States. 10 of those municipalities or cities have a population of a million or more people. Okay. Out of the top 10 cities that have a population of a million or more people, we're talking about, we're not talking about the metro area, but we're talking about the core city proper. There's only 10 out of 19,500 cities in the United States. Three of them are in Texas. You got Dallas. You got Houston. You got San Antonio. All right. Matter of fact, let me get it right because I don't want to miss anything. Then you also have New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. That's six. Now, let's see what I'm missing. I think you got Philadelphia, largest cities in the USA. Okay, here we go. Let me go with the top 10. Because there's only 10 of them out of 19. There's only 10 with a million or more out of 19,500 times. New York is number one. New York City is number one. Los Angeles is number two. Chicago, number three. We already named Houston, comes in at four. Phoenix, Arizona is five. Philadelphia, PA is six. San Antonio is seven. San Diego was eight. Dallas is nine. And San Jose is number 10. Okay. Where the action, all right. Let's see. All right. 10 towns only have a population of a million or more people. 70% of the population of the United States lives in a town that has, it's either 5,000 people or less or 10,000 people or less. I'm gonna put it up high. 70% of the United States lives in a town that has a population of 10,000 people or less. But if you want to find out where the action is, personally, I don't look at anything over 400 people. If a town's got 500 people, it's too big for what I want to do. But let's go to Bentonville, Arkansas, before we go back to the phone lines here. Bentonville, Arkansas, and that's where Sam Walton got started with Walmart. Okay, Bentonville's got a population now of 49,000, a little bit over 49,000. Bentonville, Arkansas, let's see, population in, let's see, 1957. Let's go back that far. Bentonville. I can't find it offhand. Right, I can't find it right now. Yeah, because I wanted it for 1957. Yeah, a lot of people think a town that's got 49,000 people is small. No. It's really not small. But you're not going to make $1 billion trying to get in New York City unless you go cyber. But in any event, okay, we're not going anywhere. That's just the regular countdown here. Anyway, but at least, well, many cool fridge. I ran across that this morning. I don't know if that's a cabal. They've been around for a while. They have a 300 product line, but what I'm interested in out of that 300 products is they make a refrigerator that doesn't need electricity to cool. It's not going to freeze anything, but it keeps your food fresh. So I like that idea for what we can do over here. 410, any parting words before we go out for the day?
Yeah, I'm disappointed that Brother Pianki is not here today.
He was here earlier.
Because, you know, he's real big on technology.
He was here earlier. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I guess when you plug me in, that kind of scared him off. You know, I have a way of intimidating him, so.
Well, we got sidetracked yesterday.
Okay, all right.
That happens. He was here earlier, though.
Oh, okay. Brother L.A., you know what, talking about the brother that has the invention that runs off of radio waves.
Uh-huh.
I think we had a conversation with it yesterday. And you know what? Now, I don't know if this has changed or not, but listen to what he said here. He said that he can't get a patent on his work because it violates the laws of physics. Now, that's what somebody told him,
yeah.
Yeah, well, he can't get the patent. So evidently, you know, I mean, wouldn't that qualify as being a scientific revolutionary creation?
Well, and you know what might eventually happen is there's a guy, I'm going to see if I can get him on here, the dude named Mike Reynolds. He was a licensed architect, but then he came up with a way of building homes using trash or recycled material. Tin cans, all that. They're called earthships today. He was, by the authorities of the time, including other academics, they blackballed him. They took away his architect license.
Yeah.
But then through time, you know, they came to realize, wait a minute, we could use things that have been cast off as legitimate building materials. And when it became chic, they gave him his architect license. So this guy, what you're talking about, they did it to Jesus, man. Anybody that comes up with something innovative, the powers that be typically poo-poo it.
But wouldn't that expand the law of physics if this gentleman's already...
He might be worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, hey, look, Brother L.A., I think you, Pianchi, and myself had a discussion about that, and I said that there's a whole lot of inventions that really deserved a Nobel Prize. But the thing is,
right,
it's all in politics. But let me get to this. We discussed if this brother's not protected.
Wait a minute. I got to close my front. Hold on, Beat. I got to close my front door because this dog's in heat or something. Hold on. Okay, I had to. I can't have those two get together.
You are preventing the laws of nature to prevail.
Right, exactly.
We got a saying in our neighborhood about you. You a blocker, you know.
I had to block that. Well, man, we're talking about a Chihuahua, which is what I get. My mother left that mine. A Chihuahua, and then this dog is it's a big dog. No, not today. Not on my watch.
That ain't gonna work. But getting back to this, I mean, you're gonna deny this gentleman to patent his work, which means if someone gets a copy of his work, they can go in and copy it and wouldn't have to worry about infringing on his patent.
Oh, really? That happens. I never forget. And I was in third grade, and out of the history book, we got on Eli Whitney, the cotton gin. And my mother quote my coattail on it, said, that cotton gin wasn't invented by him. It was invented by a black man. Now, she didn't give a name. But looking back on it, she made sense. It's just Eli Whitney went to the copyright or the trademark office and got credit for it.
Yeah, yeah. They said the best invention that white people created was the patent office. Because they're able to steal anything that is created that they haven't created. And I'm going to go with this. If this brother is getting a chance to expand on this, there are going to be millions and billions of people out of jobs. And I don't see the institutions
that have... But then
there'll
be new jobs created also, though.
Not many. Not many, because what's happening is, if he's ready to operate anything on radio frequencies, I mean, there are all types of frequencies out here, and like I stated to you yesterday, a computer can generate trillions of frequencies for his invention to receive. That's just like a satellite sending out cable to all of these television networks out here. You got a little box that can pick up the signal and give you cable from outer space. And with that being said, you aren't going to need anything but somebody to manufacture a little box, ever what it needs for that generator to do ever what it needs to do. And my thing is this, Brother L.A., you know, Tesla, and I said this the other day, J.P. Morgan put Tesla under house arrest because he was able to go in and generate electricity from the magnetic fields that surround the Earth. And they wouldn't let him out, and when he died, the FBI came and confiscated all of those papers. And that's what fears me about this. That's what creates the fear for me, for this brother with me.
Yeah.
And let me...
They got them, you know, it reminds me of that movie, The Fly, the updated Fly. They had the guy in the house, and they had him under observation 24/7, even his personal life.
Yeah. Tesla was separated from his family. He couldn't have visitors, and he couldn't leave the hotel room. Very expensive hotel, but the thing is, they secluded this guy until he died. But now... You know, I'm saying this here, Brother L.A., I sent you a text way back when about these churches generating all of this money. You know, if the black community could get together and finance this guy with the billions of dollars that we collect every Sunday, I mean, you know, they could make this thing work for him.
Now, I agree with you 100%. But I think it had to be the right churches, because some of these churches would, you know, the first thing they're going to ask him is, have you accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If he answers that, if he doesn't answer that to their liking, they're not going to back him.
No. And look, let me give you this. All of these links, the fraternities and sororities that are out here that have thousands and thousands of members, you would think that they'd be on guard to try and support something as scientific as what this brother's creating.
Yeah, but you're right.
They have a problem, too, because, see, he's not a college graduate. You know, he doesn't have a PhD. And I guess they feel like, you know, if you're not an educated scholar that has done something
well,
like this.
About that, Beasley, is this. All right. You have, matter of fact, she's in the White House right now. Kamala Harris is an AKA, part of a Greek organization.
Yeah, okay. All of them are.
Yeah, now, they have the money, they have the brain power, but for some reason I can't see a Greek organization backing an African.
That's sad. That's real sad. That's real sad.
I never pledged to nothing like that. I mean, I got friends that are, I respect, you know, they, you know, Omegas and all this other stuff. But I just thought, you know, wait a minute, man. Anyway, I don't get it. But
well, I thought you had pledged. I always thought you were.
No, man, I didn't pledge. I had opportunity to do Alpha Phi Alpha, the Kappas. Those are the two primary ones when I went to school.
And I got friends
to this day that are Omegas and Kappas, you know.
Yeah.
But And they still raise funds for that organization, but I haven't heard anybody talk about let's bankroll something out of Africa.
Yeah, and they're all over the world, and look, they're very well positioned. But the thing is, Brother L.A., we allow outsiders to take advantage of our intellectual capital.
Property, you're right. Intellectual capital, property.
Yeah, and you said one thing about all of these inventions coming out of Africa. Well, the thing is, Brother L.A., you can just look at the United States and look at over 90% of the inventions that brought us to this modern age was invented by ex-slaves from Africa. So this thing about this new phenomena about black folk out of Africa coming up with all of these revolutionary inventions, well, all you got to do is just look at us that it was brought over here on boats that has brought this country to a modern age the way it is now, because over 90% of what makes this an industrialized country and an economic powerhouse was from ex-slaves coming out of Africa. And I sent you another text showing you the father of the internet was a black man. He was the one that came up with the .coms and the .orgs and all of this stuff and the .edus.
Right.
So all I'm saying is, Brother L.A., we have squandered trillions and trillions of dollars of inventions because we don't have the organized way of funneling capital to the talents that's being developed in our neighborhoods. And look, you don't have to be a college graduate in science and engineering and technologies to come up with something that's revolutionary. And that's
right.
Something that gets us because this guy dropped out of school at 14 years old don't mean that he can't master the principles of engineering, you know.
True. Now, you know what, when it comes to – now, what engineers do, engineers basically take the impossible and make it possible. And a lot of people are not going to invest their money unless they can logically see how that's going to be done. I think that – you need a more savvy investor to, you know, like, you know, it's easy to put together, raise money for a barbershop or a beauty salon. We see that process. But,
it doesn't take a lot of sophistication to do that.
No, it doesn't. But for some of the things that this guy's talking about, we haven't caught up to it yet. Like, you know, I know what an electric vehicle is, a car and all that. But a lot of us are still, you know, we're still at the gas station.
Well, you know, all I'm saying is, Brother
Elliot.
We can be
educated on it, though. We can be educated on it, though.
Yeah. How practical is you jumping in a car that don't need gas, don't need a battery, and all you got to do is plug it into the right frequency and you go anywhere you want to without stopping if you don't want to?
Well, you know, when I first read that, I was thinking about radio, because all a radio dial is you know, a bunch of frequencies on an AM band, on an FM band.
That's right.
So you just turn it to whatever that 1450 frequency or whatever it might be, and, you know, you'll get what you get. So,
and look at the number of shortwaves. Radio bands.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of shortwave radios that can transmit voice and everything all
right.
over the world. All it is just that, hey, look, you got a certain frequency you want to operate on. That's why I was saying that this gentleman, all you have to do if you want it practical is he could put a little box, a little microchip in something and say, look, you operate on this radio frequency and you're good to go. He just charge you so much per ever how much he wants to do it. It can be monetized. But
right.
By
well,
it
that's
being,
what they do with the, I guess, with the cable or whatever, is those, I heard a technician talk about that. The radio waves are coming through the walls and the ceilings and all that stuff. It's just having the technology to harness it.
Yeah, that's what Dish Ready, that's what Dish Cable does. Dish Cable has a satellite that they plug into, and what, they have millions of houses that receive that frequency to do ever what it needs to do. So it's not a matter of him making money, and it's not a matter of it working. But the thing is, you got these big utility companies, these big oil companies, and television networks and everything else that it threatens their billions and trillions of dollars investment.
I think what will probably happen is like what happened with Napster. When I don't know if Napster's still around, but Napster, the guy discovered, he did peer-to-peer, and the cat was out of the bag. So I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I fear for this brother. I mean, you know, we've seen examples of what happened to something revolutionary like what he does with Tesla. And the other thing is you got some predators out there that if they surround him, they'll figure out a way to take this from him, just like they've done with our people here in America, and they'll go in and claim that invention and make money off it and then leave him out in the cold. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm just – he has a very, very revolutionary invention. I just hope that he's able to capitalize on it. And that's my take.
Right.
And with the refrigerator that doesn't use electricity, when you go in a supermarket and you go in the frozen food section, look at the thousands of dollars that these supermarkets can save on a refrigeration system like that with these, you know, these big frozen food.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, this thing is just as revolutionary as the brother with the vehicles and things that operate off radio frequencies, because your biggest cost in a supermarket really is the refrigeration units. Because when I used to service those refrigeration units when I was in marketing, they burn a hell of a lot of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy can create something that keeps things cool without using electricity. That's probably a major part of their cost for, you know, running a supermarket.
Right.
So this thing coming out of Africa is a game changer. And I don't know if the powers that be is going to allow this thing to really take off. That's my take on this thing, and I'd like to hear somebody else say something.
Well, we're out of time for today because I'm wrapping up, and we're a little bit past our regular time anyway. So we'll continue. What's tomorrow, Friday? We'll pick up Friday.
Yeah.
On that note, Beasley, thanks for calling in. Thanks for everybody calling and listening. Have a good day.